Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
As we continue our verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Peter, we are coming now to verse 12 of chapter 3. And we realize that Peter is not done with the topic of the second coming of Jesus Christ yet. That has come up in the chapter, first of all, by way of the scoffers who denied that doctrine, which Peter dealt with effectively, and then he goes on to press home the certainty of the second coming of Christ and its application to the lives of believers. And so we come today to verse 12, which says, "Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." He has repeated what he already said about the destruction that will accompany the second coming of Christ, which interestingly here he calls the coming of the day of God. And previously he has talked about it in terms of the promise of Christ's coming. And obviously, they are one and the same. Taking it all together in context, you could scarcely come to any other conclusion. So he's still talking about the second coming of Christ, and every time he says something additional, he gives us more important information so that we can enlarge our understanding of this great event, the most important event that this world has ever known and will ever know. And that's coming, and we need to know about it. And so please gather with me on this Wednesday, June 24, and thank you for remembering that we depend upon the gifts of God's people. Well, back to verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. Now let's think about some of the things that Peter has already told us about in this book, going clear back to chapter 1, where he spent a considerable part of the chapter emphasizing the reliability of Scripture. And after demonstrating that, declaring that in no uncertain terms, how Peter viewed the Bible, how he considered it to be more reliable than his own personal experiences with Jesus Christ upon the earth. When Peter, as one of the apostles of Christ, interacted with him on many occasions, including in the case of Peter, and James and John were with him on the holy mountain when he was transfigured and they saw his deity. And do you say anybody who was there during that time would surely count that to be the most important piece of information that they could possibly have about Jesus Christ? But Peter says, we have a more sure word, even prophecy, that is Scripture. Peter has a very, very high view of Scripture. You don't have to wonder whether the Apostle Peter believes in the reliability of the Bible. He certainly does. After underscoring that in chapter 1, he talked about the danger of false teachers in chapter 2. In other words, those who question the reliability of Scriptures, and who, among other things, deny the doctrine of Christ's second coming. Where is the promise of his coming, say the scoffers, with their mockery? And the response to that denial by false teachers takes up the remainder of chapter 3. He talked about previous displays of the judging power of God. in the flood, for example, of Noah's day, and relates that to the certainty of future judgment at the second coming of Christ. He deals with the reasons for the seeming delay of Christ, the thing that the scoffers jumped on as the reason why Christ really wasn't going to come, because he hadn't come as quickly as they thought he ought to come if his promise was true. And Peter deals with that very effectively. And then restates again the doctrine of the second coming of Christ and the future judgment that will accompany it, and tells believers to live in the light of these events. If we believe these things, it will affect our conduct. But now we come to verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. The day of God. That particular phrase, as opposed to the day of the Lord, but the day of God, is found only here and in two other places, one in the Old Testament and one in the New. You'll find it in Jeremiah 46:10 and in Revelation 16:14. And in all of these, it is linked to the day of judgment. And it is clearly the same as the day of the Lord in verse 10. If you read all these things together, how could you possibly come to any other conclusion? Let me start reading in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all of these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for... You see, there's not even a new sentence here, still going on. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. The day of God of verse 12 is clearly the same as the day of the Lord in verse 10. In fact, as you go on in verse 12, that becomes even more clear. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. The very same effect of this coming is described in verse 10 and is ascribed in verse 10 to the day of the Lord, and it is ascribed in verse 12 to the day of God. So they are clearly one and the same. And furthermore, both of these are the same as the promise of his coming, verse 4, because that's what Peter is responding to. This denial of the second coming of Christ by the scoffers. Knowing this first, verse 3, that the scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They are denying the doctrine of the second coming of Christ. Peter deals with that and says emphatically, verse 10, the day of the Lord will come, in spite of what the scoffers say. And then he says to believers looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. They are obviously one and the same. When Christ comes, God comes. When Christ returns, the day of God comes. When the day of the Lord, which we would probably ascribe to meaning that, or probably would assign to meaning the day of Christ, but that could be either Christ or God. But when the day of the Lord comes, that is God coming. And Peter tells us that God's people will be looking for that eagerly, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. Three times he tells us in verses 12 through 14 that we are to be looking for this. He says in verse 12, looking for. He says in verse 13, we according to his promise look for the new heavens and the new earth. And in verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. God's people are looking for this day, expecting to receive something. There is an eagerness about this. There's a hope involved with this. And, according to the language of Peter, inspired by the Spirit of God, there is active participation in this day by the people of God. Looking for, but not just looking for, hastening the coming of the day of God. One translation translates that, "Speed, it's coming." Now, how are we to consider that? Can the church do something to affect the timing of the second coming of Christ? Is it not a fixed day? Is it a day that is determined by the behavior of the church? Speed, it's coming, says the NIV. But another translation, equally valid, is be eager for or earnestly desiring. And that would not necessarily affect the timing of it, and I think that certainly fits in better with what we know of Scripture. It's a fixed day appointed by God. We can't affect when it will happen. So this translation in my Bible, hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, is probably not the best translation of these words. It ought to be something like looking for and being eager for, looking for and earnestly desiring, or it could even be translated looking for and strive toward. And maybe that's the best one of all, which would be a way of saying, as Christians, make an effort in the light of the coming of the day of God. Which might be another way of saying, look for this eagerly, watch for it actively, not passively. Looking for doesn't simply mean that we are watching for something. It means that we are doing something in regard to anticipation for this day. When a parent is looking for the coming of Christmas, it is undoubtedly filled with all kinds of preparation. I know that it's the way it happens around our house. My wife really loves to get into Christmas, and there's not as much preparation now as there were when we had four children at home, and they're all now grown and married and elsewhere, but that still doesn't mean there's no preparation. In the first place, we almost always have family gatherings at Christmas time. In the second place, we almost always have other gatherings, church gatherings, in our home at Christmas time. And that means my wife is not just sitting around waiting for Christmas to come. She's not just looking at the calendar and saying, well, I'm looking forward to Christmas arriving here. The fact that she believes that Christmas is coming, and she does, and who wouldn't? We know that it comes every year. We've experienced that. So the idea of believing in the coming of Christmas on December 25 is something that most people have no difficulty believing is true, but what does that do? It spurs all kinds of activity. Unless you're one of the people who doesn't observe Christmas, and that's an honorable position, and I'm not going to pressure you one way or another in regard to that, but if you believe in it in the sense of participating in this holiday, then that means you're going to do things in preparation for it. No doubt some things that involve decorating, no doubt some things that involve cooking and baking, no doubt things that involve purchasing presents for whoever, members of your family, and perhaps others. There's probably all kinds of preparations, and that's the idea here in regard to the second coming of Christ. Looking for and not hastening in the sense of speeding it up, but striving toward the coming of the day of God. And now we are out of time, and so we'll take it up, Lord willing, tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.